Junior Beretta came to me last night, my little grandson, and he said, Apostle, why don't you teach some? He likes teaching. He said, Brother, he teaches us. And I think it's a new name for Eddie. But said, he teaches us, and said, why don't you teach? Well, I do teach, but Junior, he remembers me having the blackboard and, you know, teaching with a little rod. And he's wondering, you know, what happened to the blackboard. But anyway, I want to talk with you and see whatever we, you know, whatever we can get into. Well, that's what we'll talk about. Now, I want you to turn over to Thessalonians with me in the second chapter. You know, we had a little something to happen the other day. I came out in the red robe that Sister Beachy had made, and it had to do with the judgments of God. And the next day things started going wrong. Cynthia, my daughter, lost $350 or got it stolen from her. Brother Keith got his arm broke. Sister come and said that there's a vision concerning Brother Gilbert's truck. Two people killed in it. Somebody come and said they had a vision of Brother Jimmy Kirk in a wreck, broke all to pieces. Somebody come and said they had a vision of Brother Zale's son, that his throat was cut, Jeffrey, and cut all to pieces, and that the girl inside in the car with him was killed. And I don't know how many different things that they come and told me about, but Cynthia losing that, we had allotted them $700, which had to do with the covenant. I think at least three of them caught this. When I caught it, I never said anything to anybody about it. And then one brother come along and he began to say something about it, and another brother come along and he began to say something about it. And neither brother had said anything to the other brother. So it was in the mouth of two or three witnesses that everything should be established. I had seen the broken covenant of the $350 or the 3.5 years and the seven. The brethren had made a covenant with Brother Wayne back there in how much he should give and how much, you know, should be given over to Raph, which was $700. And I saw Cynthia coming up the little road, the little trail out here toward the store crying. And I watched as she come up crying. I saw the woman going out and the man coming in. The church being raptured out, caught away, and the man coming in. See, it was a violation for Brother Ralph to let her have the money by herself. When the men that are in positions let the wife go handle the money and he's not with her, it is a violation of the agreement among the brethren. Now, he's supposed to be with her when she's handling money. And it was a violation. And I knew that Ralph was going to be so upset over it that probably never again would he let the woman go unless it was under the jurisdiction of the man, which typified the woman going out and the man coming in, the leadership of the man coming in to take control and charge, which would also put the fear upon the others, you know, in what they were doing and cause them to realize that they would be in the same, you know, predicament. I also saw a number of other things that we might relate, we might not, but I saw this little door going up out here. We got it hung, the one to the vault, you know, that had to do with the pillar. I brought it out about the pillar the other night. It had to do with the pillar being out here with the crossing of the Jordan, Jacob coming in, and we got the door. It's in three sections. We got the first part of it up, and it won't be long, the Lord being willing, we'll have the other two sections of it up. But we got one section of it up. It took about 8 or 9 men to bring it in before we ever filled it with the concrete. So I guess 10 or 12 men would have to get around it if they could even lift it then. And might not even be able to lift it then. But we've got it mounted. Brother Darrell worked with us and made some ball bearing actions that are excellent. His work's just perfect, just about it. And what he made for it, and Brother Atlee worked with us in making the door and some of the other brethren, and finally we got it up and filled it with concrete. The door isn't locked yet, but that's a good warning. It's not coincidental that we should have it right about the time of this Passover. It's not locked yet, Brother Bucky. It's still a little more time. So that door has to do with the closing out of the Gentile age. Now, I know it's just typically foolish and the base things of the world to confound the wise. But you might say, well, Brother Pike, surely you don't expect us to believe such a foolish thing as you build an old iron door and put it up and that's going to close God's age out. I mean, that's going to be the thing that's going to cause God to burn up the entire world. You'd be surprised. It's like a fella, a prophet told him to take that stick and beat on the ground. He started beating on the ground. And he thought, well, this is foolishness, you know. He'd have stopped. And the old prophet said, you shouldn't have done that. He said, every time you hit the ground, that's how many times that you'll smite your enemy. And said, if you'd have kept beating it, said, you'd have beat him until there wasn't nothing left of him. And you'd have took over. He said, but because you didn't do it, said, you just beat enough to drive him back, and he'd come back right back in on you. So, see, you'd be surprised. But I say this, isn't it coincidental that we spoke of Billy Graham coming off the field, and all of a sudden Billy Graham, well, I said his minister closing out is what he said, and I made a statement, he just, you know, get to where he just go about giving speeches and just be a celebrity and be shown from here and to there, you know, and get interested in politics. And isn't it strange that he represents the Gentile age, and he has to do with the closing out of the Gentile age, and we spoke of that, and all of a sudden, he does that, right at the time that little old foolish door, as we would say, is going up. That does sound strange, don't it? And, you know, they don't consider Billy Graham a foolish thing. Now, Brother Pike's a foolish thing, you know, but not Billy Graham. The world loves its own, and Billy belongs to the world. And they love their own. And whatever the intellectual or the PhD say, that's what they'll do. Like in the Old Testament, whatever the king said, they did that. But the truth of the matter was that wasn't the ones to give him advice at all. It was the prophets. God is a spirit. God don't work through seminary. God works through prophets, and God works through his body, his people. And strangely enough, it's all coordinating together. The rich get a warning. The rich get a warning. But salvation is sent to the poor. The Bible said the common people heard him gladly, but said, warn the rich. Preach the gospel to every creature. But salvation goes to the poor. Not many mighty are called. Great men, not many great, not many mighty are called. Now, I want you to remember that we're dealing with the last message, the last thing that's coming. After this, there won't be nothing else. You that look for anything else are going to be deceived, because there's not going to be anything else. This is it. You might even consider it from this perspective. If William Branham is right, if he is right, then this coming year is the last year, and this message is just beginning to break for, you know, in a quick thing. And if this isn't it, then it looks like that there won't be no time for it to come, because if he's right. So then, I've got my own convictions as to what I understand about it, but there won't be anything else. This is going to be it. So if you don't get in, as Brother J.T.'s vision was, that in this building there was something to be revealed concerning the Ark of the Covenant, never been revealed. And he said, when this water come down the second time, it done been through one time, which was Brother Branham, he said, when it comes back the second time, so the voice said, that'll be the last time. And he said, it'd be over. He said, everybody that doesn't get into it, said that, that'll be it. All right, now, let no man deceive you. I want to read in the second chapter of the book of Thessalonians and take my time and try to get into something if I can. Now, do me one favor, will you? While I'm speaking as the oracle of God, how about taking your spirits of suspicion and lay them away? Would you do that for me? Some people have a gift of healing, gift of discernment. Some have a gift of suspicion. So everybody with their gift of suspicion, I wish you'd just kind of file it away while I'm up here, because if I didn't believe my heart was pure in God, I wouldn't be up here. And it's evident that God has purified my heart by faith because I see God. And the Bible said only the pure in heart shall see God, and I see him. So if I didn't, I couldn't tell you what he was doing and where he's at and bring out the revelation. Now David said, my ways don't please him. I stumble and stagger a lot of times. He said, but my heart is perfect before him. By the blood of Jesus, God has sealed my heart. My heart is established, David said. It's fixed, he called it. The term to use was fixed. Evil tidings shall not trouble me. Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice how he starts it off. By the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by our gathering together unto him. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped. So that he as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope, through grace, comfort your heart and establish you in every good word and work. All right, now, I want to take my time and I want to talk with you, and I hope you won't hurry me this morning. If you get weary and you feel like going, well, I won't feel bad at you. Just ease on out and don't say anything and don't try to trouble me. Just ease on out, because today is a real significant day, and this morning and tonight I want to be sure that I clarify some things in your heart. I don't know what I'll say. I've got so much in my heart, Brother Hollis, that I could preach and preach and preach and preach sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon with revelation and the things of God. And I just have to try to get a hold of just a little bit of what he tells me to put it together to bring it out here to you. All right, now, here Paul said not to let anybody trouble you as to the coming of the Lord Jesus. That is to say that his coming was at hand. So don't let anybody do that. They'll say he's in the desert, but don't go forth. Don't let anybody do that, for Jesus said, at the coming of the Lord, it will be like the lightning flashing from the east unto the west. Now, he said, don't let anybody deceive you in any manner as to the coming of the Lord, as to saying that the day of the Lord is at hand. He said, for as the lightning flashes from the east unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That is, when it comes, it'll be all over, everywhere. It'll be a uniform thing. But when he said, as the lightning, I want you to see something now. He said, as the lightning flashes from the east unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, where do we find the word lightning again, where it's used? Where do we find the word lightning again? When the Lord speaks of the lightning again, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Is that right? As the lightning flashes from the east unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Is that right? Let me turn this down just a little bit here. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. As the lightning flashes from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We see the lightning the first time I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, I want you to see something in what I'm saying. And then after that Satan as lightning falls from heaven, then he comes right back again and he makes the statement, as the lightning flashes from the east unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Is that right? In other words, he speaks of the sunrise, of the eastern sunrise. And he gives the east the preeminence in what he does, because in all of the teachings he said the Jew first and then the Gentile. Which means that they are to be made the head of the nation. The Jew first and then the Gentile. That is, the man first and then the woman. Is that right? The sons of God first and then the bride. Is that right? He came to the Jews first and then he came to the woman, which is the Roman world, America over here. Is that right? Which today indicates that coming. In other words, when Columbus discovered America, that indicated the coming to the woman. Is that right? You follow me? Now somebody said, well, today's not Columbus Day. I know tomorrow's officially Columbus Day. I know that. I've already found that out. And I thank you for your information that you're trying to tell me now. But the thing is, I found that out. But officially, today is Columbus Day. They move it around. They always move things around. Always. They do it just like they move Christmas. They move Christmas. They suppose that Christ was born maybe over in April and bring it way back over here to a sun god day, which is December. God does that to use the days to magnify the spiritual events. But the Bible said that Antichrist will seek to change the times and the seasons. He changes Christmas from its original day. He changes the crossing from the original day, the crossing of Columbus. All of these things, he does it to change the times and the seasons. Now, how does he do it? He is a spiritual power or a spiritual mind that is in the earth, and he works through the children of disobedience by the intellectual letter of what we call the world of education and understanding. He sets it up according to his own ways of life. Is that right? As the lightning flashes from the east unto the west. What does it mean as the lightning flashes from the east unto the west? It means that it will be a spiritual thing when God does it. Somebody would say, now, Brother Pike, what do you mean? He said, I beheld Satan fall from heaven. Where did he fall from heaven? At Calvary, is that right? He said, I have destroyed him that hath power over death. Did he fall at Calvary? He saw him fall when he said, it's finished. And he defeated Satan. But did you see Satan fall? Do you know of anybody back there that saw Satan fall? Do you know of any record in history where they saw Satan fall? Nobody saw it except Jesus, because nobody saw God except Jesus. He said, I see always the things the Father does. Is that right? So then it was a spiritual coming. Is that right? It was a spiritual thing. You say, where do you get that? As the lightning from the east unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. What did he say here in the scripture that I read to you? He said, and he shall destroy the man of perdition with the brightness of his coming. Is that right? It's to be a spiritual revealed Christ that's coming into the earth. Now, you know, the carnal mind would say, you mean to tell me that I'm not going to look up and I'm not going to see the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, to the natural people, there's nothing real unless they can see it with their natural eye. There's nothing real unless they can taste it with their natural taste buds. Isn't that right?
But I say to you, taste of the Lord and see if he's good. I said, taste of the Lord and see if he's good. Today and tonight, we're going to taste of the Lord, drink his blood, and eat his flesh. When he said to the 70 over there, he said, yeah, you got to drink my blood. You got to eat my flesh. And they left. They couldn't understand it. Is that right? In other words, the way the natural people look at it, you know, they take the word of God as a literal, natural application. God suffered it to be like that. That's a religious thing. There's 66 books of it. To bring it right down to the intellectual, educational side of it, down to the letter of the law, to Moses, God let it be a natural letter, and he let the seminaries take it. In the Old Testament, what did they do? The Philistines, the Philistines, they came in, and they took the Ark of the Covenant. Is that right? And the Bible said the kingdom of God cometh from Calvary, the law, and the prophets of John. Since that time, the kingdom has been in the earth. Is that right? But the Bible said that the evil forces took it by force. Is that right? The evil powers took it by force. Is that right? Said it suffers violence at the hand of men. Is that right? It said men cause trouble to the kingdom of God. Is that right? Them that are taken into captivity at the will of Satan, it suffers violence by the hands of men. Said, and that violence taketh it by force. That is, they took the Ark of the Covenant away from the children of Israel by force. What's happened? They've taken the Word of God away from the church. They pushed the church out, and they put up their big seminaries and their big churches and their big taboos, and they get their polished doctors of divinity. God's not in that. God's not in that. They took it back there. The Philistines took it away from them, but God wasn't in it. As long as they had that Ark of the Covenant, what happened? It was sickness. It was sorrow. It was heartaches. It was woe. It was problems. Is that right? God suffered them to take this that there might be a day of grace to the Gentile people. That covenant belongs to the Jew. The Jew is the head of the nation. They took this religious thing away from the Jew. They killed the Jew out in the early age back there. They killed Paul. They killed John. And then the Catholic Church, which is the Gentile people, moved in and took it over and took it away from them and set up the church in the days of Constantine and began to preach it according to the way they saw it. But God confounded them by letting them turn it into a trinity to show how they divided up the things of God and that God was not a division. Is that right? Amen. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, there got to be one part, and there got to be two part, and there got to be three part. There's just one part. That's the Lord. He's one. That's the only part he is. Amen. Now, always been that way. Said many shepherds come before, but he's just one shepherd, the true shepherd. Is that right? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so then when they took this covenant away from the Jews, it gave them a day of grace. Isn't that right? It gave them a day of grace. God allowed them to do it. And the people of God were pushed out of his presence. The Jews went into the darkness because the Lord wanted to walk with the Gentile people. Let his people go into darkness so that he could bring the covenant over to the Gentile people and let them have it and let them get away with it. Let the violence take it by force. The Catholic Church rose up against it and took it by force, killed them out, and took it by force. And the monks pinned it through the Dark Age and preserved it and brought it on down. Is that right? How do you understand what I'm saying? Now, but the time of that covenant, when God got through over there, when he got tired of what the Philistines was doing, that covenant didn't bring them grace anymore, did it? Now look at it. It brought them grace to begin with because they were ignorant of it. Anytime you take the things of God, you repent of your sins, call on the name of the Lord, you are ignorant of the ways of God, and you're like a little baby. God gives you a motherhood. He gives you something to watch over you. Is that right? In other words, you're in a condition of ignorance. He gives you grace. And when the covenant came to the people of the United States and come to the Gentile people, they were in ignorance. And God allowed them to have grace because it was like a little baby. See, growing up, now you might have a little Cain out there. You might have a little Abel out there. And God will be just as kind to the little Cain as he will the Abel. Is that right? but you let them get grown up and then see which way they'll go. Is that right? And see which one God will be kind to. You understand what I'm saying? And so that he's let them grow up. He let the covenant stay among them. The Philistines, as long as they were ignorant, God let that thing do all right. But when they began to get a knowledge of their evil and their wrong and how they'd mistreated the Hebrew people and what they'd done, then God began to bring the plagues in on them. Sicknesses and heartaches and sorrows and the emrods and all kind of things begin to happen to them. And all of a sudden they said, we better go back to our ball games and we better go back to our horse races and we better go back to the frolics of the world and let that bunch of religious proselytes and fools over there have this thing back. That's their attitude toward us anyway. That's what they think we are. Brother Branham said one time what they called trash, he found to be the cream of the crop, and that's right. This is the cream of the crop. So then let that bunch of fools, they call them, have that thing back over there. It won't work for us like it works for them. Let them have their God, and we'll go back to Dagon, and we'll go back to Baal, and we'll go back to Ashtar, and we'll go back to the gods of the flesh. Let them have their God. We'll build our own God. We'll lift us up a woman over there like when Paul found them worshiping Diana, the goddess over there. We'll lift us up a woman. We'll strip her clothes off, and we'll make her our God. We'll take a man and we'll put him nude out here somewhere, put him on a pillar and make a statue out of him, make him our God. Is that right? In other words, we don't want your God. And then they begin to try to get the thing back, try to get it back into the camp. They wanted to get it back in the camp because they knew something was going wrong. They knew that it wouldn't work for them. And that's exactly what they're doing now. When they down in Egypt, when the Passover got ready and they saw that that thing wasn't going to work for them, they had that covenant down there. They had the body of the Lord Jesus Christ down there. They had the Jews there in bondage. It would work real good for them. They built a great empire out of it. Pharaoh had used it. He had built a great empire out of it. But when the knowledge of the Lord came and the iniquity of the Egyptians was filled up to the brim, then God sent Moses, a deliverer, down there telling Pharaoh to let them people go. Then when he wanted to continue on having a knowledge of his sins, because God had told him by the mouth of Moses his wrongs, then when he had a knowledge of his sins, he decided to go ahead with it. And then God began to bring his wrath down upon him, and the diseases began to fall upon him in Egypt, and everything began to go wrong with him. Isn't that the way it is today? The hospitals are filled up. You can't hardly get a hospital room. Though they charge you a fortune for, you still can't hardly get in the hospital. The plagues, everything is falling upon the Egyptians out yonder. How do you know that that civilization comes from Egypt? Don't go back to Egypt. Don't look into Egypt. Is that right? The people looking back into Egypt, there's all crisis. Cursed is the man that goeth back for his help. Is that right? That leans upon the arm of Egypt. Is that right? The arm of flesh. So then the end, the fullness of the Gentiles is here. The fullness of their iniquity is here. It's come up to the brim. The Bible said her cup was full of abominations and fornications that she committed against God. Is that right? I'm speaking spiritually. Of course, it's natural too. They committed fornication naturally, but I'm talking about spiritually against God, spiritual fornication in going with other gods and other people instead of the people of God and staying with the things of God. Isn't that right? So then it's a crisis that the sickness is coming, the sorrows are coming, the heartaches is coming. All of these woes is beginning to come down upon the people. And they're beginning to try to shift this thing out. Let that bunch of holy rollers have it. We don't want it anymore. It don't work too good for us over here anymore. Get rid of them. Somebody said, I'm a holiness person. Fine. I don't want him on my job. Somebody said, I'm going to wear the long dresses. We don't need you. Go get your job somewhere else. But before they liked that, didn't they? Before they wanted to get their hands on them, didn't they? Before they wanted to make slaves out of them, didn't they? They wanted to labor for them. But now that they're finding out they're God's people and the curse is coming upon them, they want to get rid of them. There used to be a blessing. Like that sinner down there, that man took Joseph, and everything that he did prospered because of Joseph. But as soon as he turned on Joseph, God began to turn his kingdom down. God began to get hold of him. Is that right? Every place you find where you take on a Christian, if you're ignorant and don't understand, God will bless that person. But you let him begin to understand what that Christian is saying, why God's got that Christian there, and God's trying to convert him, and then let him reject it and watch and see if the Christian don't bring a curse on him. How do you understand what I'm saying? showed them with the brightness of his coming. He said, I'll destroy the man of perdition. I'll come in the brightness of my coming, and I will destroy the man of perdition. Now, I want you to be hungry. I want you to be thirsty, because if you don't, you're not going to get anything. I'll tell you right now, he that hungers and thirsts, and this Passover has to do with the cutting off of some of you. So you need to listen. You need to hunger. You need to thirst. Hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, that you might be filled with the revelation of Jesus Christ, that God, as Paul said, might give unto you the spirit of revelation. Some of you don't have the spirit of revelation, but you need the spirit of revelation, that God may grant unto you, Paul said, the spirit of revelation. Why? Because it's the coming of the Lord. It's the coming of the Lord to you individually. It's the coming of the Lord to you individually. Somebody said, well, you said the Lord would come back to the Jew. And Paul said, he that is a Jew outward is not a Jew. He that is a Jew inwardly, he is the true Jew. There is but one Jew, that is an inward Jew. You're the true Jew. And that true Christ is coming to you to redeem you, to get you, to lift you up into an elevated place with the brightness of his coming as the lightning flashes from the east to the west. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The wicked shall not see when the good cometh. The wicked shall not see when the good cometh. We have a concept of God. Only a vague concept of God. We have a concept of the Scriptures. I want to point out something here if I can. We have a vague concept of the Scriptures. Thank you, Frank. We feel like that we understand the Word of God when we don't understand the Word of God. And being vainly puffed up by a fleshly mind, we try to tell somebody something instead of leaving it to the ministry for God to tell them. And we cross up people, kill people, smother the life out of them. Then in the day of judgment, we're found to be murderous. If I kill one of your loved ones, how would you feel? I'd be a murderer. If you kill one of God's loved ones, then you are a murderer, and the worst kind of murderer. Because if you kill a natural person, you take a natural life. You kill a spiritual person, you take a spiritual life. That's throughout eternity. And this is only a type. How much more dreadful will it be to stand before the judgment of God having killed God's people by your lying tongue? Is that right? How much more dreadful is it when you shoot a man with a gun? What have you done? It is typical of a man shooting off his mouth, killing him with his words. Is that right? When you use a knife on a man, what is it typical of? The Bible said, out of his mouth came a two-edged sword. It's typical of the word. You cut him to his heart with the word. You kill him. You become a murderer. Is that right? And I know the best physicians in the world sometimes lose cases where they're trying to save a man's life. A minister sometimes will lose a case where he's trying to save a man's life because he can't get the man to work with him right. Won't follow the prescription. Won't do what he's told. And he loses his life. Is that right? Somebody will go to the doctor, get a prescription, go up there and get it, come right back, won't use it. You follow me? You follow me? Now, not interpreting the Scriptures right, not understanding what God is trying to tell us in the coming of the day of the Lord, not understanding, because God is a spirit, God is a revelation, but Satan is also a spirit, Satan is also a mystery. A mystery of iniquity. Also a word of expression. Just like God is a word of expression. He's also a light. Just like God is a light. But he's a dark light. Yeah. That light within you be darkness. Is that right? Yeah. How do you understand what I'm saying? All right, stay with me. I can't hardly preach to you this morning. You ain't drawing, you ain't hungry, you ain't thirsty. Some of you under condemnation because of a supper, knowing you ain't live right. And the time's come, it's got you all tore up. Now, I want you to listen this morning. I'll explain a few things to you. Try to show you where you are and what you're doing. The minister that's up here behind the sacred desk, what is he? He is a judge. You go into the court, and what do they have? They have a judge sitting up there. Whatever that judge says has to come from that law book. And whatever that law book says, it is... Even the Senate of the United States and the president stands behind it, because it is the law. The first thing, before you can even get into politics, you've got to learn the law. Is that right? That's why so many men become young lawyers. They're not interested in being a lawyer. They want to get into politics. You follow me? A judge. He said there's a judge for your good. I brought it out the other night. He has the power to remit your sins, has the power to retain your sins. Whosoever sins he remits shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Even the Catholics understand that. The Catholics know more about it than the Protestants do. Even they understand that much. They say the priest can remit your sins. They know that much. And if he was a real man of God, he could. But he's not a man of God. If he'd been a real man of God, he could have remitted them. How do you understand what I'm saying? You come before the man of God, and the Bible said, even those that can pray for the sick. If you're sick and you come up, call together the elders of the church. The elders was around the throne. The elders of the church. Call together the elders. Let them lay hands on the sick. If they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. Is that right? Now somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if you remit my sins, that means I'm on my way to heaven. It certainly does not mean you're on your way to heaven. I can remit your sins this morning and you can be on your way to hell tonight. I can remit them tomorrow and you can be on your way to hell the next night. Remitting your sins. Just like a judge, he might be up here. He might forgive you of what you've done and give you grace when you're guilty. Or he might prove that you're innocent. But that doesn't mean you're protected for the rest of your life. You go back out that evening, you kill a man, or you do something else, and then you come before that judge, and you got a penalty to pay. Is that right? The man forgave your sins. And if you come, the elders lay hands on you. They forgive your sins. But the Bible said, go thy way and sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. Just because your sins are forgiven, that don't mean you can't sin again. And every time you sin, there is a penalty. You got to pay a penalty for it. That judge is going to impose the penalty upon you. But when God forgives your sins, you need to stay away from sin. For when that sin comes, there's going to be a penalty. He'll deliver you to the judge, your adversary, whoever you're warring with, whoever you're giving trouble. You trouble me, God said, I'll trouble you. Then he delivers you to the judge, your adversary. The Bible said, go to him, make peace with him. If your brother's got aught against you, go to your brother. Get the thing straightened out. Don't come and try to pray pertaining to the supper tonight. Don't try to pray when the wife flies off the handle at the husband and runs off in the corner to pray. Why, she might as well just forget about that. She's got to get that thing straight with the husband and then go pray. You flop your brother, get upset with your wife, run off to pray, or upset with your fellow man here at the church, say something to him and then run off in a corner to pray, God isn't going to forgive you. The Bible said if you have aught against your brother, go to your brother, be reconciled to your brother, and then bring your offering before God. Is that right? Cain killed his brother. He come over here trying to give God an offering. He said, where's your brother? You got to be reconciled to your brother. He couldn't be reconciled to him. He killed him. So God sent him out into the land of Nod and put a mark on him, rejected him. Said, sin lies at the door. He didn't forgive his sins. That was an unpardonable sin that God won't forgive. Did you know that? An unpardonable sin. You cross a deadline. No need to come before the judge. The preacher, nobody else can't forgive him. How do you understand what I'm saying? All right, now. See, agree with an adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest he get upset. And he say, Lord, that brother done me wrong, and I've tried to do him right, and I've tried to love him, and I've tried to be a friend to him. But he just goes around with a grudge all the time, an old hard heart all the time. He isn't soft-hearted, he isn't tender-hearted, but he hardens his heart against the things of God, always gossiping, always bickering, always finding fault. The rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Just to rebel against God, to rebel against your brother, is the same thing. It's a devil, demon. It is a witchcraft spirit. Just to be stubborn, the Bible said, just to be stubborn against the man of God, or against your brother, or against the truth. Said it's witchcraft. Same thing as those that worship idols. It's the same demon spirits. You understand what I'm saying? Agree with thy adversary quickly. Not prolonged. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. But agree with him quickly whilst thou art in the way. That is why you're still got a chance with God. Why you still got a chance with your brother. Quickly while thou art in the way. Lest at any time thy brother should deliver thee to the judge. And then have somebody to judge you. Who is the judge? A preacher. Deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the jailer, and the jailer cast thee into prison. So then you got a term, you got a prison term to serve then. You're not come out till you paid the uttermost farthing. 3 years, 2 years, 5 years, lifetime, sentenced to the electric chair. It's going to be some kind of sickness, it's going to be some kind of heartache, it's going to be some kind of trouble, might be insanity, might be poverty, might lose your job, might be in poverty for 3 years. But there's going to be a sentence to it. That's why today is a dangerous day, Brother Johnny. Never before in the history of the world of mankind has man ever known God or understood God or know the judgments of God, but he does today. And God's required of him. The end of the world could not come unless there be a great falling away. And a great falling away could not come unless there be a knowledge. How can you fall away if you don't have a knowledge? It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. The Bible said if you willfully sin after that you've come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more atonement from Calvary. There remaineth no more perpetuation for sin. Only the fearful looking for of the judgments of God that shall devour the adversaries of the Lord Jesus. Is that right? The brightness of his coming. Destroying the man of perdition with the brightness of his coming. Now there are just bushels of things I'd like to get into this morning, but I can't. But I want to follow a stream enough to try to show you where you're mistaken. Now, if you would judge yourselves, you would have no need to be judged. But when you're judged of the Lord, you receive a sentence. That is your chastening of the Lord, that you be not condemned with the world. Isn't that right? He dealeth with you as sons. Don't be grieved. When you're chastened of the Lord, when you're rebuked of the Lord, repent. Don't get grieved. Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season you'll reap if you faint not. Is that right? Judge yourselves. In other words, when a thought comes into that heart, when a feeling comes into that heart, immediately judge that thought. Bring every thought into subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And judge yourself, saying, wait a minute, did I speak right to that brother? Did I have the right spirit to that brother? Did I have the right attitude toward that brother? Was my thoughts right toward that sister? Was my thoughts right toward that brother? And then start repenting and say like David of old, God, forgive me for the thoughts and intents of my heart. Lord, I didn't mean to do that. God, forgive me. And then when God forgives you and you feel clear and you feel the Lord understood and God's Spirit warmly flows through your vessels, don't go back and take a chance like Judas, sell God out for 30 pieces of silver. Don't go back and be a betrayer. The first time a woman walks in front of you, let a devil of lust get all over you. Or a man walks in front of you, let a devil of lust get all over you. Don't get temperamental and cause somebody crosses your brain or your doctrine or what you stand for. Rise up in your heart and get an old hard heart or an old gossiping thing because somebody mistreats you a little bit, fly off the handle or try to get back. Don't be a talebearer. I want to emphasize that one. I got tail bearers. They run about busybodies, going from person to person. Paul said, whose mouths ought to be stopped? They go about subverting whole households. Is that right? He said, I would that your young widows marry and bear children. Give not occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some already has turned aside after Satan. Being busybodies, going about from house to house, having damnation because they cast off their first faith. For when they begin to wax wanton, they'll sin against God. Is that right? Now, I made the statement the other night. So many people have lost out with God because of the teachings of predestination. And I made the statement here months ago. I said, folks, you don't understand predestination. Some of you don't. And I said, Brother Branham's followers, the ones I talked to, don't understand predestination. If they did, they wouldn't do like they're doing. And people grab predestination, even the Baptists grab predestination and say, once saved, always saved. I agree. Once saved, always saved. I agree to that. I believe in eternal security. That's right. But brother, let me tell you something. When you repent of your sins and you come to God, you repent of your sins and you get straightened out with God according to the way you feel about it. And then the next day you go back to the slop holes of the world. You're not saved. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that you're saved. You're not saved. The Bible said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. The Bible said, endure sound doctrine. Is that right? It takes some endurance, swearing to your own hurt. He that can stay with it to the end, he's the man that gets the job done. Is that right? Don't quit like a child when you get tired. Quit like a man when you get through, the scripture tells us. So then they say, I am predestinated. I'm saved. I'm right. I'm on the way to heaven. I want you to listen at me now. I don't have to get along with Brother Lyman. I don't have to get along with Brother Hollis. I'm saved. I'm elect. Bless God, it don't make no difference what you tell me, Brother Frank Taylor. I ain't got to listen at it. Come on, folks. But we don't go far enough to do this, do we? We don't turn and look to God and say, bless God, I'm elect. I ain't got to worry about doing what you said, Lord Jesus Christ. We don't say that, do we? Why not? If you're elect, you don't have to listen to anybody. Why bother listening to what the Lord says about it? After all, you're already elect. You're already saved. The Lord can't do nothing about it because the Bible said he can't change his word. You don't look to God and say, God, I don't care what you say about it, what you think about it. I'm too busy doing my thing in the world or doing what I want to. After all, I'm elect. I ain't worrying about it. You don't do that, do you? No, you know why you don't do that? Because only a fool would do that. But yet you tell the preacher that you don't need to listen to the preacher. You can work it out for yourself. You got a Bible of your own. You know that's wrong. You know that's a devil spirit talking to you. And you know that's the devil's going to kill God's people. And Satan's going to use you to kill them with as an instrument of cruelty. Laying in wait, the Bible said, whetting your tongue like a man with an arrow, shooting at the children in the upright in heart. Isn't that right? Saying you can live just as good at home as you can anywhere else. This thing don't come about by living good. You can quit chewing your cud, you can quit dancing with your brother's wife, and you can quit a lot of things. That don't mean you got salvation. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Jesus said, lest a man be born of the Spirit of the water, lest he be born again. He can't even see the kingdom of God. You say, why see it, Brother Pye? Because he said, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation with these natural eyes. Not going to say, lo, here in the desert, or lo, over yonder. He said, the kingdom of God's within you. It's a revelation. It's a spiritual thing. It's a quickening of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the brightness of his coming. As the lightning flashes from the east to the west. Now, you say, but I'm elect. I don't have to have any favor with the pastor. I don't have to have any favor with the brethren. I don't have to have any favor with anybody. Just say, Lord, I don't have to have any favor with you. I'm elect. Somebody said, but I wouldn't do that, Brother Pike. But the Bible said you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. When you told the pastor you didn't have to have favor with him, when you told the brethren you didn't have to have favor with him, you did it to God. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's why Satan is in you. That's why Satan is with you. That's why Satan has got a hold of you. That's why Satan makes you an instrument of cruelty to kill, to rob, to steal. Because the Bible said he's a thief, he's a robber, he's a murderer from the beginning. He steals your life, he steals your health, he steals your prosperity, he steals the blessings of God. Because the Bible said if a man would do well, live long, have the good treasures of life, let him refrain his tongue that he speak no evil. Come on, folks. Stay with me now. We're on a journey. Heading for Canaan. Got to get over Jordan. That old carnal mind's death. The Bible said it'll be carnal mind's death. You better stay with me. He said, I'll send my angel before your face. Don't grieve him because he will not pardon your transgressions. All right, now. He said, go tell him my servant Moses is dead.
Hallelujah.
All right, now,
I want you to see this, brethren. This is why we need a shepherd bill. We've got to have a shepherd. Sheep can't lead themselves. A woman cannot lead herself. Ladies, I've got the greatest kind of respect for you. With all purity, Paul said, his sisters in Christ. But you can't lead yourself. The Bible said that the man is the head of the woman. God speaks to the man. The man is in control. The man has to guide and govern the woman. And she has to be subject to him. It's a shame when a man won't serve God. It's a shame to think that man is the highest creation of God in the earth. That God has invested the greatest thing he could ever invest in him. Made him the prince of all the earth. And said, Adam, thou shalt rule over everything and be in control of it. Amen. Was meant to be throughout eternity. And then he won't submit to God. How can a man fuss with his wife and say to his wife, you won't obey me, when his husband is looking at him, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, you won't submit to me? Amen. How could he turn around? The Bible said the same judgment you use on your wife, he'll use on his wife. Is that right? Deal not treacherously against the wife of thy youth. God hateth putting away. How many understand what I'm saying? Now, you say, Brother Pike, if predestination isn't the way that you say it is, here, that we don't have to have favor with anybody, then how is predestination? Listen real close. You are not predestinated because you believe that you're predestinated, my brothers and sisters. You can believe that you're on your way to heaven and be on your way to hell, as I said the other night. You can believe a lie and be damned. Because they had not a love for the truth, the Bible said here in this second chapter. He said, for this cause, I, God. How many of you remember over there in the days of Ahab? Back there, when they wouldn't listen to the prophet, Micah. And all of a sudden a spirit, a demon came before God, a fallen angel. Spirit, God being the Father of spirits, has control over all of it. And that evil spirit, God said, I need somebody to go down there and prevail in the mouth of them false prophets down there. Said, who'll go? That demon spirit jumped up and said, I'll go. God said, you'll go and prevail. He did prevail, didn't he? They lost their life because they wouldn't listen to the truth. And he said, for this cause, because you won't listen to the truth, you won't believe God's ministers, said, believe God's prophets and prosper. But because you won't believe him. He said, for this cause I'll send you strong delusions. I'll send you strong delusions. I'll let evil spirits come and doctrines of devils, and they'll indoctrinate you till you believe that you're null. I will send you strong delusions. And I will cause you, not let you, but cause you to believe a lie and be damned because you had not a love for the truth. Is that right? America, Adam, Eve, where art thou? Where art thou, Adam and Eve? Lost from the presence of God. Without the garment of righteousness. Said they had a covering, but they don't cover in my spirit. It was a covering of darkness. The veil of death that they pull over you. Hallelujah. Light, dark light. How great is that darkness? Even unto death, to the regions of the damned, the bottomless pit, one in their dry places. And they seek and rest, and they can't find it. How do you understand? When Rebekah come across from the land of Laban, Abraham, having left the land of the Chaldees, the land of his kindred, whereas the Bible said, get ye out from the land of your kindred. That is, get away from the flesh. Get away from the flesh. Get away from them boys you used to run with and the girls you used to run with. That's the land of your natural kindred. Get away from the flesh. Walk in the spirit, shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When he left the Chaldees, the land of the kindred, you understand what I'm saying? Left the land of the Chaldees, and then God gave him a son, said, Abraham, wander in the land you don't know nothing about, son. That is, when you get in the spirit, you don't know nothing about this world. You just go by faith. You just follow God. You get in the mind of Christ, you don't know nothing about it. You just follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. Said, go to the promised land. He went to the promised land. God gave him a son, said, through thee all nations shall be blessed, Isaac. But there came a day when he wanted a wife. There came a day when his mother died. He wanted a wife. He wanted somebody to console him. There's going to be a day when the church is going to die. God's got a natural church. He's got a natural church that's represented by the Jew. But Paul spoke of old Jerusalem. But he wanted the wife. And Abraham called Eliezer, the little servant. Said, come over here, slip your hand under my thigh, and take a covenant. This has to do with the message I preached the other night on the covenant. I didn't get to bring it out. Slipped his hands under here. We slipped his hand under there. He said, now take a vow of me. Now how do you understand the covenant? Why did he did that? Drop the sin right quick. He did that because when you remember the brook Kidron, the brook of Jabbok, and the Jabbok, and the things they meant. You remember when Jacob got down to the brook? How many of you remember that? And he wrestled with the angel all night long. When he wrestled with the angel all night just before he met Esau, his brother, which had to do with the redemption of the body. He'd been away for about 20 years and was coming back to his father's house. Had crossed over Jordan. It had to do with this pillar and this door and all that I was going to bring out the other night. Noel called Mizpah, going back to his father's house. And he'd done been away, then got his wife and coming back. Is that right? Had two of them, the body and the spirit, coming back with it. Is that right? But he left the body, which was Leah, to get to Rachel. Is that right? Took Leah first, which was the Jews, and then turned to Rachel, and then at the death of Rachel, when he got back to the father's house, he turned back to Leah, going back to the Jew, the body of redemption. Is that right? Coming to the body first, the Jew, and then the Jew in the end time, which is the bodily resurrection. At this brook, if you remember, he wrestled all night long. And then when the day started to break him, he got his hip out of joint here, or got the thigh here out of joint, so to speak. I say out of joint actually just says that the sinew shrink here where he touched him. Now, I want you to see this. When he come down to this brook, he knew he was going to meet Esau. He knew that the morning was coming, and he prayed all night long and wrestled with the angel of God. He kept wrestling. And finally the angel of God said, let me go, so the day is coming. Said, let me go. He wouldn't do it. Now I want you to see this. Somebody said, well, why didn't the angel just leave him? The Bible said, man's a little lower than the angel, not as strong as man's not as strong as the angel. Why didn't the angel just take off? He couldn't. That's how Jacob got his blessing. The angel couldn't get away from him. Here was a man, and man a little older than the angel. But Jacob had overpowered the angel. The angel said, let me go. And Jacob said, I ain't going to do it. He said, I'm looking for a blessing. I got to have a blessing in the morning. I'm going to meet my brother Esau. What about that? A man worried about meeting flesh and blood when he done outdone an angel. He said, I want a blessing. And finally the angel said, want to know, Jacob said, he wanted to know his name, you know, but he wouldn't tell him. And then he said, well, I'll tell you what, you want to know his name. Jacob said, well, we're going to change it to Israel, meaning a prince, one that has prevailed with God. So thou hast prevailed with God. In other words, Jacob had such faith in God that he believed that God would make that angel stay there until that angel solved his problem in meeting his brother Esau. Yes. And the angel couldn't get away because God wouldn't let him leave. And the angel realized that Jacob had prevailed with God. And he said, man, you got such hope on God that I can't even get away from you, that God won't even give me permission to leave. And he said, let me leave. Jacob said, when you bless me, I will. That's what we need, Eddie. We need to get down to business. Get down to business with God and stay there. And he said, thou hast prevailed as a prince, one who hath power with God. So he changed his name and called it Israel. When Jesus hung at Calvary, that was that covenant. That was that covenant when he hung at Calvary. What did he do? He prevailed with God as one with God. Isn't that right? He prevailed at the crossing over that has to do with the supper tonight. He prevailed as one with God and stayed there until God blessed him and changed his name to Christ. From Christ comes the spiritual tribe that was a type of. Christian. From Christ. He prevailed as a prince with God. The Prince of Peace.
Hallelujah.
Now, that covenant, he touched him. When he touched him and the sinews rang, it indicated the covenant of God, which was Calvary. And from then on, men would begin to swear by that. And men would use that as a covenant because Jacob, the father, had instigated this thing. Is that right? Why was that? Why was that? It was because it was in Abraham before it ever came to pass. Is that right? Abraham being God in the type, the father to the Jews, it was there before it ever came to pass. Is that right? And Eliezer come and put his hands under his thigh and swear to Abraham that he'd go down there and get him a wife out of the land of his kindred. See, Jacob, when that angel caused that to happen here, Jacob knew that that was all it took to confirm the covenant. Now, we'd have to go into something there to bring it out, but that's all it took. But Brother Eliezer went down there across that desert, being typical of the Holy Ghost, which was the covenant of God, went down there with them camels being typical of the Holy Ghost. Could you imagine a camel train going across the desert, 9 camels? You know, in the spiritual gifts, you got faith. When he got ready to return, if you notice, he put Rebecca on one of these camels. Faith will take you right on in. Isn't that right? The gifts of the Spirit. Had the veil over. But she, coming from the land of a kindred, it's down here, the Holy Ghost coming from Isaac, Jesus, down here, the land of his kindred, the natural people, to get him a wife from among mankind. Down here where he was born. Coming down here. You follow me? When they started back, he had given them the jewels. He had given them the ring, the bracelets, the other half of the covenant waiting for him because Abraham was a rich man. Leaving the land of the kindred, when he started back, what did he have to do? He had to water them camels. That woman watered them camels. When we cherish and nourish the gifts and attributes of God and the fruits of the Spirit, which that represented right there, when we nourish those, we water them with the waters of God to keep them alive. To keep a fruit tree growing, you got to put some fruit, some water in there. And we water it as a tree of God. Then we find favor. That is the bride. He said, Lord, hear my covenant. Hear my plead, my prayer. And said, the woman that comes out to that well in the evening time is the virgin. I want you to notice it had to be a virgin. Christ isn't going to take somebody that's mixed and mingled with every doctrine and way of life. Said, Lord, said, when that woman comes out, the virgin's coming to draw the water in the evening time from the well. Said, when they come out, said, Lord, give me favor for my master's sake. And said, the one that'll water my camels, said, I know that'll be her. The one that'll water the trees of God, that'll nourish the fruits of the Spirit, said, I know that that'll be her. That'll be her. And what did Jesus do? Just as quick as Jesus come here at the well, met the woman. And the woman said, who are you? And he began to tell her about the church ages through her husband, what she was coming up to. And turned around to her. And he said, woman, you say that Jerusalem is the place to worship. But that's not what I said. She said, but our father gave us as well. Brother Jacob gave us as well. So he's the one that taught us. He said, but the hour coming now is in the salvation of the Jew, that God being a spirit shall worship God in spirit. A revelation, a knowledge, something you can understand by faith. They worship God in spirit and in truth. And because they had not a love for the truth, he turned them over to reprobate mind. Let them believe a lie and be damned. One word spoken against the spirit of truth. Not be forgiven in this world or the world to come. It's the unpardonable sin. You better be careful when a man of God tells you a night vision. A man of God tells you the word. A man of God speaking to you by the Spirit of God. One word spoken against the spirit of truth. God sent him the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because they can't see him. They're looking for a natural thing. But that's the Christ. That's that same Jesus. I go away, I'll come back. Said to him over there at the supper, the last supper, I won't drink this anymore with you until I drink it over at Pentecost. I won't drink it anew here, drink it with you until I drink it anew in my Father's kingdom. After Calvary came the Pentecost. Did he drink it anew with them? They said they're drunk off a new wine. The Spirit of God entered in. Tired of you being due to a powerful one. How the Holy Ghost came. A spirit. Is that right? spirit, the kingdom of God, not by observation. Jews looking for millennium, so that'll be later. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then when she got ready to make a trip back and she started across that long desert, now that's where it is, right there. She had to cross that desert. That's why she gave the water. Them spirits wander through dry places, no heavenly water, seeking rest. Can't find it. Where are they at? Between heaven and earth. The crossing over of the astronauts from here over to the moon landing. Is that right? Satan, make your nest among the stars. The woman with a foot on the moon, the travail, America being the woman. You know how it's taught? Crossing the dry places. Satan's kingdom between heaven and earth, wandering through the spiritual dry places. We're trying to get to God, trying to get to Canaan land, trying to get to our heavenly father, Abraham, trying to get over there. Got the Holy Ghost and the fruits of the Spirit taking us in, the gifts. Crossing over when Daniel prayed here, and in between heaven and earth, Satan intercepted the message before it got to God. And there had to be a war between the angels to ever get to Daniel. Is that right? I said, hold on just a few minutes now. Here was Calvary. Here at Calvary, right there. Why did Jesus hang between heaven and earth? God crossing the devil to make a cross up here, showing that he was the door. The blood over the doorpost, and the doorpost being Calvary. The Lamb of God, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. The door bill between heaven and earth. Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. And the blood is over the doorpost. And God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. In other words, the Lamb's blood, I'll pass over you. Breaking it down between heaven and earth, the dry places where the demons wander. Going across that dry place into the kingdom of God. How do you understand what I'm saying? In the evening time, here comes the bride on the camels, her veil on her face. I'm going to close in just a few minutes. Her veil on her face, his flesh is still a veil. A veil that was over Moses' face. That was a veil, the first covenant. But Jesus, the second, was the unveil. It was the unveil. The first was broken. And he slammed the stone down. It was broken. Why? The flesh don't keep the things of God. It's carnal. It's enmity to God. It's broken. The Jews typified it in killing the Savior. But the broken covenant meant the rending of the veil. It had to break the first to let the second out, the Christ, to come out. Is that right? They broke it with Brother Branham. They didn't keep Brother Branham's covenant. The people that followed Brother Branham's bill, they didn't keep Brother Branham's covenant. They didn't keep Brother Branham's word. You say, how do you know? Because when Jesus came, said, if you'd have believed Moses, you'd have believed me because he spoke of me. Yes. If Brother Branham pointed to this, saying that he was caught up beyond the veil and saw the ladies in the long dresses, like Moses on the mountaintop, if they'd have believed him, they'd have believed this because he spoke of this. So then in the evening time, when Rebekah saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. The Bible said he took her into the mother's chamber. Remember now, Paul said the types and shadows, Sarah's tent, the mother of us all, heavenly Jerusalem, made it in, over to the new earth, said into the temple, the sacredness of God, in the inner part of this body, the temple of God, drawn with inside, keeping under my body, communing with God inside. Here, God being a spirit, me being a spirit, in his temple we fellowship together. Come as one spirit, a man and his wife, no longer one or two, but one. No longer twain, because at Calvary it was twain when it was written two, separating the man and the wife. At the garden it was twain when it was written two, when Eve took on one mind and Adam took on another mind. And I spoke about the inseparable twins, that one of them had to die. Because one of them was a parasite life. But anyway, when they come together, went into the temple, into the mother's tent, heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all. Paul said Sarah was the type of that. There she became his wife, and he unveiled her. She kept the veil. I said to you a while back, the veil meant shamefaced. The woman's supposed to be shamefaced in before the man. She's supposed to submit to him, listen at him, obey him, honor him in all things. Shamefaced, the veil. Is that right? And when he married, he stayed that way. We're in the veil until the great marriage, and then this old skin that God put on us back there in the garden through Adam's fall is taken off of us. That's why a man disrobes his wife, and he alone has the right to do that in the secret chambers. How do you understand what I'm saying? The church, that means in the evening time. Whereas we're in the evening time, and it will come to pass, there'll be light. We need to understand that we are to be his wife because we marry the Word. We become one spirit. These are one spirit. Father one is we're one. Not because we believe that we are elect or we elect, but we are elect because we believe the Word of God. Amen. I believe the Word of God, and faith in the Word of God makes me elect. And what does the Word of God say? My faith in believing I'm an elect, that doesn't mean anything. I can believe a lie and be damned, have a strong delusion. But if I believe in the Word of God said, submit yourself unto the minister, they watch for your soul. Yes. The Word of God said, honor, obey, reverence. The Word of God said to love one another. The Word of God said keep yourself unspotted from the world. The Word of God said submit yourself to the minister. He watches after your soul. He can remit your sins or retain your sins. Peter said, if you think you're elect, that's something. He said, but I'm going to tell you some things you got to do. And he enumerated the fruits of the Spirit, the watering of the camels. Said, do these things, godliness, patience, meekness, long-sufferings, temperance, gentleness. Said, is this the kind of spirit you got? He said, this is the Spirit of Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you're partakers of that divine nature, you'll have the fruits. The water will be there. He said, you belong to God. You're like the tree that's planted by the water. The trees of life and revelation, the root running down in the river of life, and the fruits that bring forth can't be nothing but fruits of life, because that's the kind of water's coming up through the branches. So then, I am elect because I believe in Christ. I believe in the Word of God. And because I believe in the Word of God, Peter said, prove these things. Make your election and your calling sure. Don't guess at it. He said, if you can do these things, you got the nature of Jesus Christ. That proves that you're one of the elect. That proves that you've been once saved. That proves that you're always saved. If you can produce the fruits of the Spirit in your life, then you are the tree of life. If it's hatred, malice, backbiting, evil, surmising, you are the tree of knowledge of evil, of death. Said, but produce the tree of life, spirit, fruits. Like a tree that's planted by the water, bring forth his leaves in his season. Said to be for the healing of the nation, his fruits shall not wither. Others are Christ, dead fruits, withered, plucked up by the roots. So then, I'm going to close with this thought this morning. I'm not elect because I believe I'm elect. I'm not a Christian because I believe I'm a Christian. Many people have died and gone to hell because they believed it was a Christian. Believed it just as much as you believe it. But they believed a lie and they were damned. But I'm a Christian because I believe what he said. Said, these are my words of life, and he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me, on the Word, the Spirit, in the beginning was God, the Word Spirit. Believeth on that, said he's passed from death unto life. These are they that testify of the Word, me, Jesus said. When your spirit testifies of the characteristics of Jesus Christ every day, and they're manifested in your life. You are elect because you believe the Word, and therefore you do what the Word tells you to do. And that's to honor the brotherhood, love one another, honor your pastor, submit yourself unto them. There's no power that be ordained of God, but that which be ordained of God. That's the way you are an elect. The devil's got a neat little trap to tell people, bless God, you're elect and you don't have to obey nobody. That's a cunning little device of his evil to overthrow the brotherhood, to cause division. That's a mind of the devil that come from the tree of knowledge that kills. I tell you from the mind of the Lord this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus,
You love the brotherhood. You honor your pastor. You love your husband's wives. And husbands, you love your wives. You walk together and love one another. And listen to me, little folks in God, don't you try to get out on your own. If you do, you'll be killed as sure as there's the world. Don't you dare do that. These little boys, like Mitch's little boys, needs to be with mom and daddy. These little teenagers, like these little girls, they don't need to get out on their own. They need supervision. They need guidance. The world entices you out there so Satan can kill you. Get you away from leadership and understanding. Get you away from the mind of God so Satan can kill you like a spider closing in on a fly. You stay with the fathers. Children, the Bible said Elijah would turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, not away from the fathers. The message of God is back to the fathers. You turn back to the fathers and you believe in them. And you work with them. And you that are big enough to have an experience of your own or get out on your own, you watch after these children. You help these children. And you tell these children to get back in there and stay with the father and work with you as a bigger brethren with the father until they can mature and be able to fight the devils and the lions and the bears that's out there in the wilderness. Amen. Be able to escape the suck holes, the sand pits, all the dangers of snakes and evils. You love the Lord? I want you to stand with me. Let me understand what I'm saying. Amen. The Bible said, with wisdom, get understanding. Brother Charlie, we need understanding. We need understanding. My people perish from the lack of knowledge, not knowing the truth. It's not knowledge of evil that they perish from. The devil takes advantage and kills them because they don't understand the knowledge of truth. Life, words of life. Let's just sing a little chorus, just one or two verses here. I'm not going to hold you up this morning because I want you to be fresh so you can come back tonight. But folks, I preached to you this morning. The Bible said, cry aloud. I cried aloud, didn't I? He said, spare not, meaning no favor of person. I didn't spare, did I? Tell my people of their sins. Said they delight before me as a nation. They take pleasure in coming to God. They love to come to church. They delight. Even the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, Pentecostals, they delight in coming to God. They delight in that. And they take pleasure in coming as a nation that did not forsake me. He said they act like they never forsook me, but did my will. They fast and say, Lord, we fasted. They pray and say, Lord, we prayed. I said, but you didn't hear us. But they didn't do it right. I said, when you take the poor, pure and undefiled salvation before God and religion before God is to visit the orphans and the widows in their afflictions. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Are we feeding them? Are we helping them? Are we trying to do anything about it? Natural and spiritual widows and orphans. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Are we keeping ourselves unspotted from the mind that talks to us? That's the mind of the world. Are we obeying? Are we believing? It proves that we don't have salvation because we don't believe the God that spoke through the minister. And that God that spoke through the minister remitted your sins by your faith in that word that came through the minister from his temple saying it's God that speaks. Minister didn't have nothing to do with it. But God said he remits sins because he numbers the wife or the husband. They're one, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. But it's God speaking to you according to the way you believe that voice that said don't. That remits your sins by faith you're saved. If you disbelieve what that voice said, then your sins are retained unto you by unbelief. Your deeds prove what you are. Show me your faith without your deeds. The other said you can tell faith by deeds, by what you do. That's what you believe. From the heart you believe, and what you do is what you believe. You believe in the lust of the flesh, you do it. You believe in serving God, you do it. You believe in swearing to your own hurt, you do it. You believe in gossiping, tale bearing, telling things, and scattering strife. Children of the devil, blessed is a peacemaker. They'll be called the children of God. Better watch what you do and say. Feed you the fruit of your thoughts. What you do to others, that's what you're going to eat. And don't forget tonight. I want you to come back tonight. We're going to have the supper tonight. And I preach this to you to try to help you from the bottom of my heart, to try to help you. And if you'll believe me, it'll work out good. If you want to prosper, be blessed, it'll work out good. I'm nothing but a helper of your faith. I'm nobody, the least in the kingdom of God, less than nothing. But I'm a helper of your faith. But I want to help you. If it be anything else said of me, then the Bible said, let another one say it. If there be anything said of me, then somebody else says it. That's God. Preparation of man's heart from God. I have no power over that. But my own witness is that I want to be faithful to him that sent me and please him, the Lord Jesus Christ. David said that I might abide in the house of the Lord forever. It's my desire to do the will of the Father. Let's sing another chorus of that, when I see the blood. If you go in, remember now, if you go in any other way, you can climb up another way. Satan is in the presence of God. That's why he'll be cast down. I know he's already cast out for us at Calvary. It's official to us because we believe it. But the manifesto, as they say in communism's book, is called Mark. That is Mark's communistic book of the mark of the beast, because that's what it is. That beastly lineage is going to take over the world. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You climb up another way. But you got to go in with the door because the blood is over the doorpost. When I see the blood.